Be your first lines of defense for both you and the kids. Maybe your child needs help focusing and concentrating. Ask about natural alternatives from Terry Naturally. Prepare now for a successful, healthy school year at Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The destruction from the deadly wildfires in Maui is immense. The small town of Lahaina was reduced to ash, and residents wonder how they'll recover.
This is going to take years.
Leaving their town wasn't even an option for some. Lars Johnson lives in Lahaina, which was devastated by the fires.
People are asking if I want to fly somewhere, and I just, why would I leave? This is my home, and these are my people, and this is where I need to be.
Aloha United Way, the Maui Mutual Aid Fund, and the Maui Food Bank are all accepting donations. So is the Hawaii Community Foundation, which has already raised more than $1 million for relief efforts. A three-year-old riding a migrant bus died on the way to Chicago. Here's CBS's Margaret Brennan.
It was announced that the bus took off from Texas, where Republican Governor Greg Abbott has been busing migrants to other states. The Illinois Department of Public Health says that the little girl was confirmed dead at a hospital.
Illinois' top court upholds the state's sweeping gun ban. Here's correspondent Jennifer Kuiper.
The ban was enacted after a deadly mass shooting during last year's Highland Park July 4th parade. Bill sponsor, Democrat Representative Bob Morgan, was at the parade.
This is definitely a step in the right direction and will mean that less families experience the kind of trauma that we did.
Richard Pearson of the Illinois Rifle Association notes that the court did not rule on whether the ban violated the Second Amendment.
They said that it was a state case and that they weren't going to decide that. So we'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court and see if they want to decide it.
Well, classes just started back in Louisville, Kentucky, but school had to be closed already following a major bus fiasco that had some kids not getting home until 10 p.m. on the first day. Superintendent Marty Pollio.
I hope the community knows in no way are we saying that the issues that we have faced are issues with the bus drivers whatsoever. Quite candidly, we should have anticipated those problems better than what we did, and we did not do that. And once again, I say that's on me.
Attorney David Weiss will serve as special counsel in the investigation into Hunter Biden now that his plea deal has collapsed. CBS's Weisha Zhang.
Hunter Biden thought that he was going to plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax fraud charges. He thought that there was going to be a separate diversion case for a gun charge, and that all fell apart.
A breakthrough method of testing for cancer.
The finger prick blood test offers greater detection of cancerous molecules in the blood.
Specific ones are related to specific cancers, and the technology in principle can detect all of them.
It offers results in just 30 minutes. No word yet on when it'll be readily available.
That's our CBS's Scott Maiman reporting from Cambria, Australia. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Wendy's is open till midnight or later, so you can give in to the craving and go night mode. Now all of your favorite menu items just got their bedtime extended. You can get what you want even later, like the Baconator with 6 strips of bacon or the perfect fries and frosty duo. If you're up later, then so are we. So go ahead and pull through the drive-thru. When the craving hits, go night mode at Wendy's. Open till midnight or later. All right, see ya later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey,
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 80. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows dip down to about 58. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, highs around 77. Upper 60s Monday with a chance for scattered storms, upper 70s Tuesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 62.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
D.C. We spend some time talking about broad themes coming out of that indictment. And then also, as we have done in the past with respect to the other indictments pending against this president, going to do some specific references to this major document, this 45-page charging document issued by a grand jury in the District of Columbia, charging the former president with crimes under our federal criminal code. We're going to talk not only about what those crimes are generally, the basic trends and the movements in that indictment, but then also spending some time focusing on specifically what it is we know from that indictment, the things that are set forth with great particularity. We spend some time this broadcast and then again next Saturday talking about a number of different things coming out of that indictment, not only the First Amendment issues, the purposes of the conspiracy also set forth in that document, the manner and the means by which it is alleged the president engaged in the crimes set forth in that indictment. We're going to spend some time talking about specific state references, the ways in which these particular crimes were perpetrated in various states, including the state of Wisconsin, and then also talking about other aspects of this scheme to undermine, to stop, to prevent the effective counting of Electoral College votes in January of 2021. We're going to talk about the fake electors as those are described with particularity in the indictment. We'll talk about the involvement of the Department of Justice, the attempt to get the Department of Justice to go along with this scheme to overthrow not only the counting, but also the legitimacy of a republic. And then we're going to talk about Mike Pence. A lot to cover. Probably not all this morning, going to be a two-part program, including not only our broad discussion, some specific references to that indictment, and then some takeaways about what's going to happen in the future. All of that on deck as a part of our ambitious but achievable syllabus this morning on Morning Cannolis, Saturday, August 12, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me this morning in this important discussion. We always, again, look forward to these kinds of presentations about the important issues in our lives here in America and occasionally around the world as well. Let's begin, as I promised, with this breaking story coming out just yesterday, Friday, regarding the son of the president, Hunter Biden. I'm going to jump right into the middle of this story and, again, talk not only about what happened in the past in this particular case, what's going to happen in the future, and why the announcement today by the Attorney General, yesterday by the Attorney General, why it is today relevant to this case going forward. You may recall well that in late July, what happened was that a federal district court judge in the District of Delaware, reviewing a proposed indictment and a plea agreement and information and a plea agreement presented to her between Hunter Biden and the Justice Department, reviewing this agreement to resolve this case absent a trial, the judge's name, Mary Ellen Noreika, of the Federal District Court in Wilmington, looked at all of this and said, I do not agree. She said, I'm going to put on hold this proposed plea deal between Hunter Biden, the son of the president, and the Justice Department, that if it had gone forward, would have settled some tax and gun charges against the president's son. And that event in late July, July 26, stunned not only the courtroom watchers, stunned many people in the courtroom, no less the lawyers themselves involved in this. and raised some legal and constitutional questions about the agreement itself that were identified again by Judge Mary Ellen Noreika of that U.S. District Court in Bloomington, Delaware. How did this come about? At the beginning of the hearing, the judge announced, as judges always do, that she has got this responsibility to review those things that are in front of her, the terms and conditions of this proposed plea agreement. The parties plainly have presented her with an agreement, some understandings between the parties, but it is a part of our regular process, both in the federal system and also the state system, that a judge does not oblige to simply put a rubber stamp, as this particular judge said, on an agreement. A judge has an obligation also to review the content, the focus, the meaning, the purpose, and most importantly, the justice of the agreement between the parties. And that's what Judge Noreika was doing in the U.S. District Court in Wilmington, Delaware, a few weeks back. And specifically, she said, I cannot accept the plea agreement today. And she identified some specific problems that she had with the agreement as it had been worked out between the parties, between the defendant, Hunter Biden, and counsel for the U.S. Department of Justice. She said, my concerns focus on two elements of the proposed deal. And what are those two elements that she identified? First, she said, there's a provision that would have offered Hunter Biden some broad insulation against further prosecution on matters that were scrutinized by federal prosecutors during their five-year investigation. And specifically, what is the extent, what is the breadth of that insulation? And second, the second issue the federal district court judge had to do with a diversion program on the gun charge, a decision not to charge him as long as he remains outside of the scope of future criminal activity. And pursuant to that arrangement, she would have been called upon to play a role in determining whether Hunter Biden was, in fact, meeting the terms of this deal. She identified those two principal issues, and she questioned the attorneys a lot on that particular matter. And she described in particular her concerns. She kicked off the hearing by telling the lawyers they don't need to keep popping up and down every time she asked them a question. It was a signal, plainly, that she was going to be asking them a lot of interrogating questions. And she said, this is not standard. This is not what I normally see in a plea agreement. She argued that maybe this is even unconstitutional, without legal precedent, and potentially, she said, not even worth the paper it is printed on. Not good words to come from a federal district court judge when you're appearing in front of her or any other district court judge. And she went on to describe to the attorneys, questioning them, the specific focuses of her concerns. And in particular, she zeroed in on this paragraph that was offering Hunter Biden broad immunity from prosecution. And she asked, basically, what is the breadth of this? What is the strength of this? And along the way, she exposed some very serious differences between the parties who were presenting her with this very agreement, a disclosure that she pursued basically to show that they did not have a meeting of the minds. They did not have an agreement about what was going to be happening here. And during the course of the further discussion between them, she also discussed with them their obligation to come to an agreement on this. When we come back from this first break, we're going to tell you more about what the judge said, her resolution of this, her non-resolution of it, and why all this leads to the decision yesterday by the Attorney General ultimately to appoint a special counsel in this matter involving Hunter Biden. Stay with us for that next discussion.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors. Gorilla Glue, of course. Gorilla Glue is incredibly strong, 100% waterproof, and bonds virtually everything. Gorilla Glue, for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
New Brake Best Select Pro. Professional-grade brake pads and rotors from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Hey, this is Petty Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
$2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year.
And we're back here on Morning Cannolis. Thank you once again for joining me on this good Saturday morning here in the state of Wisconsin. We are beginning our broadcast this morning with a discussion of this major rule of law event that happened yesterday, the announcement by the Attorney General of the United States of America that he is appointing a special counsel. We'll give you his name. You've already heard his name in just a moment or so. But before we get to that, again, providing you with the predicates for how this came to be and this hearing that happened in late July in front of Judge Mary Ellen Noreika of the U.S. District Court in Millington, Delaware, in which he was asking the attorneys if they really did have an agreement to resolve these tax and gun charges, these allegations against Hunter Biden. And during the course of the exposition, her interrogation of these attorneys, she revealed effectively that they did not have an understanding. There wasn't a contract, a real meeting of the minds about all of this. And she said in particular, when she was asking Hunter Biden's lawyer about whether or not he was indemnified merely for the tax and gun charges or other things, maybe involving his deals with companies in Ukraine, China, and Romania. And the attorneys for Hunter Biden said, yes, very broad grant of immunity. Prosecutors had a very, very much narrower definition. They saw that immunity as limited to offenses uncovered during their investigation of taxes dating back to 2014 and this gun purchase that it was back in 2018 when, according to all reports and Mr. Biden's own acknowledgement, he was a heavy drug user. And during the course of that exposition, it became very clear to the judge and to other people in the courtroom that the parties did not have an understanding about the breadth, a very key element of this, the breadth of the immunity being given to the defendant, a basic premise upon which any plea agreement would be entered into. Second, the judge also then looked at whether or not some other terms of this deal in the fine print of it were also appropriately understood. She was looking in particular upon this agreement to engage in diversion for the gun offense. It required Mr. Biden to avoid using drugs, owning a firearm during the two-year diversion program. If he did all that, he would not be charged additionally with any offenses. And in specifically, the federal district court judge was objecting on this basis, in this area, to how a violation of its terms would be handled. Typically, again, here's your civics lesson for the morning. The Justice Department independently verifies any breach and can bring charges or otherwise bring this to the attention of the court. But under this particular arrangement, the arrangement was that out of concern, by the Biden lawyer team. The department might abuse its authority if there is a future change in our presidency, a future change in the U.S. Department of Justice. The arrangement was that the judge herself would be the one to make the decision about whether or not there had been a violation of this diversion program, that she would be a more neutral arbiter. And Judge Noriko suggested that such an arrangement could be unconstitutional because it might give her prosecutorial powers, and those vested, of course, exclusively in the executive branch under our Constitution. She said, I'm not going to do something that gets me outside of my lane, of my branch of government. And she said, go back and work on that. To the surprise of everybody, again, in late July, this plea agreement, by everyone's account, blew up. It did not go forward. They were anticipating presenting this to the judge, having her put, as she said, her rubber stamp, her imprimatur on this, which she declined to do. And she said, go back and work on these two major issues about the breadth of the immunity you're given and how we're going to enforce this diversion program. Well, the case went silent, at least publicly, for a number of weeks. And a lot of people thought that this case would then be resolved by the attorneys coming up with more specific understandings of this breadth of the immunity and also how we would enforce the diversion side of things. It turns out that that did not happen. That did not happen. And again, just yesterday, late this week, the U.S. Department of Justice filed some court papers indicating that they had, in fact, reached an impasse. No agreement on this with defense lawyers over a proposed plea deal that would have settled the tax and the gun charges against Mr. Biden. Hunter Biden might now face a new criminal indictment and even possibly a trial. All bets are off now. The plea agreement that was not accepted by the judge in late July, now a part of history, and now the department presumably going ahead with either further investigation, further prosecution down the road. And why is this issue significant? Because yesterday, in connection with all of this, Merrick Garland, our attorney general, came forward and said on Friday that he had elevated the federal prosecutor. His name is David Weiss. He is already the United States attorney in Delaware, the chief federal law enforcement officer in that particular state. And in that announcement yesterday from the attorney general, he was elevating this federal prosecutor to the role of special counsel, elevating to the role of special counsel and giving him that special status that he's conferred on at least two other people during the course of this term, as we well know. We know as well, of course, that Jack Smith was also identified and appointed to be a special counsel in what? That is the case involving matters in focusing upon Donald Trump, the Mar-a-Lago matter, and also the January 6th matter, which we're going to talk about in much greater detail in just a few moments. We also know that this attorney general similarly has appointed a special counsel to review matters related to the present president's possession of classified and other documents in Washington, D.C., and at his home in Delaware. So we now have three special counsels out there, all of them looking at different things, again, under the overall supervision of the attorney general, but nonetheless given some significant latitude when it comes to doing just that. I indicated before that we're going to spend some time talking about what special counsels do and what they do not do, and we'll do that right now because it's understanding that that gives us greater understanding about this particular story. And so as we talk more about this, when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you more about the special counsel and about why that's important to understanding the appointment, the elevation just yesterday of this U.S. attorney to the position of special counsel overseeing now the Hunter Biden case as well. Stay with us for that discussion as we continue here on Morning Cannolis.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth Buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth Buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
What if your next breath is your last breath? Jesus said that no one is good except God alone. Paul wrote that no one is righteous, not even one. Isaiah says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. At First Baptist Church of Wisconsin Rapids, we believe there is hope of life after death in Christ alone. Historic faith, prayer, fellowship, virtue, the preaching of the word. Visit firstbaptistwr.com.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You have one new notification from Cleary Building Corp. This is to remind you, if you're thinking about building a home, storage facility, or commercial building, make sure your building has a Cleary Shamrock on it. At this time, we urge you to visit clearybuilding.com immediately to speak with a sales specialist to get you the building of your dreams.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Get the best warranty in the business at clearybuilding.com today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 80. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows dip down to about 58. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, highs around 77. Upper 60s Monday with a chance for scattered storms, upper 70s Tuesday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 62.
Strength inside of us, but
hi folks, welcome back to a pre-recorded Morning Cannolis. We hope you can hear us out there, Radio Land.
We are back from this break, and again, we're spending the initial times of our broadcast this morning talking about one of the two major stories coming out of the rule of law, enterprise, and world this past week. That is the appointment of a special counsel to oversee, to pursue a prosecution of Hunter Biden in the wake of the dissolution of the plea agreement that was presented to a federal district court judge in late July. Right before the break, promised that I would talk a little bit more about special counsels, who they are, what they do, and the extent to which they are truly independent. The extent to which America, as we look at them, should really understand that they are independent or not of the U.S. Department of Justice. The differences between the rules governing U.S. attorneys and special counsels I would offer are less about how law enforcement powers are actually used, but instead intended to bolster public confidence that those uses, those powers, are free from political interference. So, for example, special counsels can be arbitrarily fired, cannot be arbitrarily fired, without a cause, like a finding of some misconduct. You can't simply terminate a special counsel. That gives a special counsel a certain amount of independence in all of these kinds of things. Beyond that, under the special counsel statute that it now applies to this David Weiss, who is the newly appointed special counsel in the Hunter Biden matter, an attorney general can only block a special counsel from bringing a specific charge if the AG decides the step in the terms of the statute would be so inappropriate or unwarranted under established departmental practices that it should not be pursued. That's a pretty high bar to meet. And at the end of the inquiry, Congress must also be told about the decision, which again creates a deterrent to abusing that power. There's also one notable requirement imposed upon special counsels, and that is at the end of their investigations, they must write a report, a specific report, a narrative of what they have found. That could be with or without an indictment, a charging decision. And so while the rules envision that being a private document, the attorney general can certainly and often has disclosed it. We saw that in the Mueller report, a decision there for a variety of reasons related to the policy of the U.S. Department of Justice not to indict the former president, but nonetheless to make findings about what the special counsel, in that instance, Robert Mueller, had found about the Russia connection and most significantly about obstruction of justice by our former president in the first months of his term. All of that related to the special counsel appointments that this attorney general, now three in number, has made during the course of his term. As I indicated, I myself view this as more a sign and a signal to the public to bolster public confidence that these decisions are not political. As a practical matter, the people who are making decisions, pursuing these investigations, the prosecutors, the investigators, they are civil servants. They're not political people. And I can tell you on behalf of many, many thousands of prosecutors, investigators out there, federal and state as well, that the notion that there are political animus, partisan reasons for doing things inside investigations, for the most part, do not happen. I know well that during the course of the last term with the U.S. Department of Justice, an awful lot of concerns about that. I think the time has come for us to recognize that the U.S. Department of Justice, the good people inside the department who have got these civil service appointments, who take oaths to do things without partisan bias, without political animus, can do those jobs. And indeed, Jack Smith, and indeed, David Weiss, the appointment announced just yesterday, they are long-term, long-standing civil servants, and in case of one of them, a political appointee, the appointee who is also supervising the case involving Joe Biden, likewise a political appointee, but people who are directed to by virtue of their oath and the commitment that they make to these initiatives to do things without partisan politics. And I would offer today that as important as it is, perhaps especially in this political season in which we are, to attempt to convince the public that whatever decisions come out of the special counsel's office, again now three in number, with respect to the former president, Donald Trump, with respect to the present president, whose name is Joe Biden, and respect now to Hunter Biden, that those decisions are not affected by politics. That's an important thing for America to understand. And I would offer simply this footnote, and that is that has always been the case traditionally with legitimate U.S. Departments of Justice in the past and, frankly, in the present as well. And it is a good sign to send to America that the Department of Justice can do this even without attaching the special title of special counsel to these investigators who do their work impartially and without partisan review. There are an awful lot of people who are looking at even the decision yesterday that is basically elevating, not appointing someone new, but elevating the U.S. attorney in Delaware to this position is more cosmetic, a cosmetic gesture, essentially formalizing what has already been the case, not a new reality. And indeed, the attorney general, as I indicated before, previously indicated not going to do this because, once again, he's got confidence in this political appointee, the U.S. attorney, to make this decision wisely and even without any partisan or political involvement, had confidence in doing that. Plainly, the circumstances of this, perhaps even inside the Beltway in Washington, now prompted the attorney general to add this additional title to Mr. Weiss, elevate him, if you will, to the status of special counsel, giving him, admittedly, a bit more latitude when it comes to some of these day-to-day operations, but in the end, not changing fundamentally the function of attorneys, prosecutors, working with investigators, federal and state, to determine how charges should be brought, if charges should be brought, how those should be described, and what kinds of things should be done in pursuit of the rule of law. So that event, a major event, we will see where this is going. Plainly, the dissolution of the plea deal back in July means that this case may well go to trial. There's also a subtle suggestion out there that the case, because of some of the events, may in fact be venued ultimately outside of Delaware. We'll see if that happens. But again, it brings back, not to square one, but brings back publicly to square one, what's going to happen next. Will there be an information, another plea agreement? Will there be an indictment? Will there be a trial down the road? All of those things, now the possible avenues based upon this significant event just yesterday afternoon in Washington, D.C., the appointment by the Attorney General of David Weiss, serving as special counsel now in the Hunter Biden matter, plainly not putting an end to the political aspects of that as well, at least the political commentary on that, urging all Americans of all political persuasions to look at this in the way that it should be looked at, which is focusing on the rule of law and doing the right thing, whatever that might be when it comes to what the investigation shows and what the information, the facts support in terms of charges that should be brought into the courts of America. We'll continue to review that story as well. The other major story I now turn to, coming out again of Washington, D.C. just yesterday on February, on August 11th of this calendar year. We know well that the other special counsel, Jack Smith, has returned through the grand jury process this major 45-page indictment against the former president. And indeed, we're going to spend most of our time this morning and part of our next broadcast a week from today talking about the specifics of that indictment. One of the things, of course, that happens is that after someone is indicted, they're required to appear in front of a magistrate judge. We know that that happened last week when the former president did, in fact, appear before a magistrate judge, again, in Washington, D.C., to set the terms and conditions of his release, to talk about some basic procedures going forward. That's a part of the arraignment process. During the course of that procedure, again, consistent with civics, consistent with the way these things are done throughout America and all our federal district courts and all of our trial courts as well, this particular president pled not guilty to four principal charges in that indictment. We're going to talk about those in just a moment. And that set up the basis for going forward, including at some point down the road, an establishment of a pre-trial calendar that includes things like when the parties will file motions, when hearings will be had, other matters related to the disposition of the case that anticipate a trial. None of that done yet. But one of the things that also happened during the course of this past week was just this. We know well that in the wake of that arraignment of last week, of the previous week, when Donald Trump appeared in front of that magistrate judge in the district of the Washington, D.C., the district court in the federal district court in Washington, D.C., that when that happened, Mr. Trump left, as did the lawyers, as did the prosecutors as well. And in the wake of that, Donald Trump, in an unmistakable reference to a recent social media post and other things out there, he said this on his social media postings. He said, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." That was a statement that his spokesman later said was aimed at political opponents and not at people involved in the case. Probably not. The kinds of things, again, that Donald Trump regrettably has established a record of doing. I mentioned before the special counsel, Robert Mueller, who identified 6, 8, 10 different instances of attempting to affect the investigation, things like that, threatening witnesses along the way. In the Mueller investigation, also dangling pardons in front of people, encouraging people to produce documents that did not, in fact, reflect the truth of what was going on, all kinds of things. He said, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you," that on his social media posting. And that prompted later that same day, last week, previous week, for the Department of Justice to seek from the judge who's presiding over this case a formal order establishing the circumstances under which individuals, including the defendant, could talk about this case. We know from our previous discussions that judge is Tanya Chutkan, C-H-U-T-K-A-N. Indeed, just yesterday, on Friday, Judge Tanya Chutkan entertained the request, the motion, the petition of the U.S. Department of Justice to establish a protective order with respect to the discovery, which is the evidence that's produced. Here's the next civics aspect of this. In the course of all of this, all of these kinds of criminal prosecutions, after an indictment, the government, the federal government in this case, is obliged to provide the defendant with the evidence that the government will produce during the course of the trial itself. And that means all kinds of witness statements. That includes videotapes, recordings of interviews, photographs, all the kinds of things the government has in its possession under a number of important Supreme Court cases and also some statutes in the federal system, also in most state systems as well. The prosecutors obliged to turn over documents that identify witnesses, all the kinds of things that would be presented during the course of the trial. That's the rule of law in America, and that is fair, and that is decent, and that is justice. And it ensures along the way that a defendant is not blindsided by things that happened during the course of the proceedings. It ensures that when the defendant is preparing a defense, again, all defendants, like Donald Trump, presumed to be innocent until proven guilty, as he and his lawyers do that, they know what the government's going to present. And that's a part of the routine process that indeed Jack Smith and his prosecutors in this January 6th, this 45-page indictment, have been doing and are about to do more of. And along the way, because of this statement indicating that Donald Trump might be going after, I would interpret that to be witnesses, maybe prosecutors, maybe investigators, maybe others involved in this, the government again requested from Tanya Chutkan, the U.S. District Court judge, an order. Directing that there be no intimidation of witnesses that would in any way affect their presentation or prejudice any potential jurors along the way. So, yesterday afternoon, during the course of this hearing, Judge Chutkan said that the defendant, Mr. Trump, she basically rejected his ability to speak broadly about evidence and every witness. And she actually warned him that she would take necessary measures, as she said, to keep him from intimidating witnesses or tainting potential jurors. That's what she said pretty much at the outset of a 90-minute hearing on Friday. When we come back, I'll tell you more about what Judge Chutkan said and the limits that she provided to this protective order that she issued, and also why it's important in the future litigation as she oversees the case and as we go forward on the indictment, which we'll also talk about in our next hour. Stay with us for all of that here on Morning Cannolis.
And I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
The school year is starting soon. Whether at home or in the classroom, Family Natural Foods can help support health and success. All natural products can help boost your immune health and be your first lines of defense for both you and the kids. Maybe your child needs help focusing and concentrating. Ask about natural alternatives from Terry Naturally. Prepare now for a successful, healthy school year at Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Much warmer Tuesday with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently...
Again, in this last segment of our first hour, we're talking about this major hearing that happened, a 90-minute hearing in front of D.C. Circuit Court, trial court judge Tanya Chutkan yesterday afternoon in Washington, D.C. She limited the defendants, Donald Trump's, ability to share evidence from this January 6th case. Specifically, she said she's going to take measures to keep him from intimidating witnesses or tainting potential jurors. Again, that caution coming from Tanya Chutkan during this major hearing yesterday discussed the scope of a protective order over this discovery evidence in Donald Trump's case. Again, a typically routine step in most criminal matters. Later, after the course of this hearing, Judge Chutkan did impose an order, but agreed to a modification that was requested by Donald Trump's legal team, and specifically finding that it applied only to sensitive materials and not all evidence turned over to defense. But she concluded the hearing with a very blunt warning to Donald Trump. She said in an unmistakable reference, again, to this Truth Social posting that he sent out there into the world, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." She said, "I do want to issue a general word of caution. I intend to ensure the orderly administration of justice in this case, as I would in any other case." Again, this is the judge talking. "And even arguably ambiguous statements by the parties or their counsel." And plainly she's doing that as a part of her anticipation that this issue may resurface again. She said that any of those could be considered an attempt to intimidate witnesses or prejudice potential jurors, triggering the court, she indicated, to take action. She went on to say, "I caution you and your client," she's speaking to the attorneys, of course, "you and your client," the client being Donald Trump, "to take special care in your public statements in this case. I will take whatever measures," she said, "are necessary to protect the integrity of these proceedings." Again, so did not adopt completely the protective order proposed by Jack Smith. Gave the defendant, Donald Trump, a little bit of leeway here, but basically reading him the Riot Act about future attempts to make these kinds of statements. Along the way, she said, "Mr. Trump, like any American, has a right to free speech under the First Amendment, an issue that we're going to review again in just a few moments as we get back to the underlying indictment in this case." But she also said, "That right is not absolute. That right is not absolute. Along the way, she dismissed an argument made by Donald Trump's lawyers. His name is John Lauer, L-A-U-R-O, Lauro, who is complaining that the protective order was presented by the Department of Justice put a chill on his client's ability to defend himself in the 2024 presidential campaign. Again, underscoring the atypical nature of all of this. That's that this is going on in the middle of a presidential campaign in which the defendant alleged to have done these crimes in the indictment is also seeking the highest office in our land. What did Judge Chutkan say about that? She responded by saying this: he is a criminal defendant. He's going to have restrictions like every other criminal defendant. And she also added that she was not going to allow him any greater or lesser latitude than any defendant in a criminal case. The judge described Donald Trump's candidacy as a day job, she said. And she plainly indicated she's going to treat him like any other defendant appearing in her court. Witnesses, she said, may not have the type of protections that Donald Trump has. And she said, I see the possibility for a lot of problems here. That's what the federal district court judge said yesterday. Her name, once again, Tanya Chutkan. She is the judge who's going to be presiding over the trial of this matter and other pretrial matters that are going to animate us in America, animate the trial itself, and plainly influence the future history of our country for the next months and years down the road. That happened just yesterday in connection with the prosecution by Jack Smith, special counsel, of this 45-page indictment that, again, has been a part of the record for about 11, coming up on 12 days now in American jurisprudence. I promised you at the start of this hour that I'd also talk with you about a rule of law calendar. Let's get to that right now in the last minutes of our first hour here. Give you some sense of what's coming up here. We'll continue this in the start of our second hour as well. Let's talk about the current schedule of Donald Trump trials coming up in America. We know about virtually all of these, or maybe one or two that have slipped under the radar of America. The first one coming up on October 2nd, October 2nd, 2023. Recall this civil fraud prosecution. It's a civil case, not a criminal case, being brought by the Attorney General of the state of New York. Her name is Letitia James. She brought this case a long time ago, alleging some civil fraud in connection with Donald Trump's property valuations, and specifically seeking about $250 million against him for violations, again, civil fraud violations in violation of New York law. Also seeking to prevent the Trump entities, the Trump participants, the Trump family members from at any point serving in the leadership roles of companies, corporations in the state of New York. That trial, and the judges said that's in stone, is coming up on October 2nd, which significantly is going to be a very important day in American history. That's also the date on which the next term of the U.S. Supreme Court begins, October 2nd, first Monday in October 2023. This calendar year, the civil fraud trial begins in October of this year. Then we've got a number of other trials also on the docket for 2024. We know that Jack Smith has recently proposed that Monday, January 2nd, the first business day of the new year of 2024, be the day on which this 45-page indictment, the January 6th indictment, the allegations of attempting to stop the counting of votes, the conspiracies alleged in that indictment, that's the date on which he has recommended the court, again, Tanya Chutkan, to establish a date. She has not yet done that. She plainly will have a pretrial hearing at some point down the road in which she will discuss that date, but that has not yet happened in America. We will see what happens on that, if that in fact is the date, or much more likely that moves much more into 2024, right in the middle of the political campaign for the presidency of the United States of America. In our second hour, we're going to tell you more about the rule of law calendar, and then we're going to spend a lot of time talking in our second hour about that major indictment, talking about it generally, and then doing some specific references to what that indictment says in support of the four major charges in it. Stay with us here on Morning Cannolis for that very important discussion.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.